are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free
world. I'm continuing this conversation about the basic principles of the unity faith, which a lot of people have asked me, what does unity believe? And I've said before, you know, unity is what's called positive Christianity. And unity has five basic principles, and I came up with a little way to remember them, a mnemonic device, and it actually ended up spreading around the world, and people use my little mnemonic device, which is really gratifying to know that it's a way of helping people remember these five principles. And we've already covered one. It's one clap is the mnemonic device, one C-L-A-P. We've already covered the one, that is that there is only one presence and one power. There's only good in this world. Now, does it show up other than that? Yeah, it shows up other than that sometimes because of us. We show up other than that. We show up as being not in our highest self. Out of fear, it makes perfect sense, but that's why we do it. So, one, oneness. The C stands for Christ within. Christ is Christos, which means the anointed one. We all are the divine is the idea that if God is everywhere equally present, we cannot draw a line outside of ourselves and say God is not in and part of us. Then we come to, in unity, it's actually called the law of mind action, not the law of attraction, the law of mind action. But it means exactly the same thing. Unity's pithy way of putting it is, thoughts held in mind produce after their kind. Let me say that again. Thoughts held in mind produce after their kind. And I have seen this everywhere in my life. Let me give you a little history of this concept, if I may. Earl Nightingale, who is my great mentor, who passed away my 30th birthday, right before my 30th birthday. Anyway, which would have been 30 years ago this year. Anyway, I reached out to Earl Nightingale. Earl Nightingale was a radio announcer and became a motivational speaker. And he wrote and recorded an LP back then, a record. And it was called The Strangest Secret. And The Strangest Secret, in essence, and this was originally espoused by Napoleon Hill in Think and Grow Rich, is we become what we think about. We become what we think about. Let me say that again. We become what we think about. Unity says thoughts held in mind produce after their kind. We become what we think about. About 10 years ago, 12 years ago, this movie exploded around the world, sold 14 million copies, like 6 million books based on it, called The Secret. The Secret talks about the law of attraction, that we attract what we focus on, and we attract what we think about. It was so funny because I woke up this morning. Let me tell you what happened yesterday, and then I've got a couple of kind of amazing law of attraction stories. I find that people who work at it assiduously, really work at it, everybody has a law of attraction story. Yesterday, we ran into some technical difficulties using a software program called Streamlabs OBS. Doesn't matter what it is. Just know that that's the issue. And it keeps coming up. We keep having problems. And so I found this online version that you pay for. It's $500 a year. But I want these to be excellent jumpstarts. So I paid for the system, etc. Started working on it last night after I'd finished a full day of writing and stuff like that. And when I got to it, it wouldn't work. It was worse than this, far worse than what I'm trying to do using these programs, much worse. And I was so just depleted was the word. I was so depleted because I had spent hours working on this. And it was one of those things that I contacted the customer support people and they were really nice and attempted to be very helpful. But they had some questions and the camera I'm using has come out with a totally new software. So it was literally one of those things where this should be fairly easy. This is not working. This is difficult. This is getting more and more and more difficult. So as I sometimes do, I went and sat down on the couch, was watching Schitt's Creek, actually, and fell asleep. I was asleep by like 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock at the latest, which meant that I was up at 4 o'clock in the morning. And what do you think I was thinking about? I was thinking about all the issues I was having with doing these jump starts and doing the meditations. And I was focusing on really kind of feeling sorry for myself. and thinking of all the things I tried and none of the things worked and da 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 da. And everybody always has a justification as to why it's not working. It's never them, you know. And I'm sure at the end I'll ultimately figure all this out. But anyway, I woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning and then I thought, well, what am I speaking on for my jumpstart? Law of attraction, law of mind action. Whatever you hold in mind becomes your reality. And I thought to myself, do I really want to lie in bed for the next hour or two and think about this not working? Or do I want to lie in bed and think about this working? And once I was able to shift myself and begin to think about and to visualize us being live as we are this morning, and everything looks and sounds great from what you all are telling me, and everything looks good from my angle. But to do that, I had to get up and literally completely rebuild everything we normally do in a different, yet another software program, the very first one. So all this I'm trying to say is that once I was able to focus on it working rather than feeling sorry for myself and focusing on what was not working, I was able to come up with a solution, which we are experiencing right now. Let me tell you two more amazing examples, which you may not believe, but they're both true. The first time I really heard about The Strangest Secret and Law of Attraction, thoughts held in mind. So I was 28, 30 years old. And at that time, I had a parrot named Juggles. Now, many of you know this story, but I had a parrot when I was 17, and this parrot I had taken outside. It was on my shoulder. I had clipped its primary flight feathers, which is like giving it a haircut. You're not butchering the poor bird. Anyway, I trimmed his primary flight feathers, but I hadn't trimmed them right, and he had gotten caught by wind and flew up into a tree, and I never saw him again. And since that point, I had talked to a lot of people who had had parrots and had them fly up into a tree and lost them for good. Well, guess what happened to me when I was 30? Went into a park. Wind caught my parrot Juggles and took her up. She started trying to fly, wobble. She went up into a tree. She was there for a week. Now, during that time, I slept in the park and I kept seeing myself having her with me again, holding her because she liked to snuggle up against me. And I just kept imagining that. Now, why doesn't the bird fly back? The reason is that she's never really flown before. And so birds are scared to death of falling, just like we are. So once they do start to fly for the first time like this, they go higher and higher. Well, there was a young man who was in the park I ran into one day, and I told him about this, and we sat there and just watched Juggles up in the tree. And after a week, sure enough, the wind blew again, and this time Juggles flew off and was gone. But I refused to believe it. I still visualized myself. I mean, closed my eyes, and this is not easy stuff, y'all. Closing your eyes and making yourself believe something that your ego really is telling you, that's stupid, that's silly, don't waste your time. So, had a rainstorm a couple of nights, and then I called the animal shelter and found out that there was a parrot there at the animal shelter waiting on someone to come and rescue it, pick it up. So I went to the animal shelter, and sure enough, it was my parrot. Now, not only that, this was an animal shelter on the other side of Seattle. What had happened was my bird had gotten up, flown around, and had landed on a fence. This is a true story. Landed on a fence at someone's apartment while this man was on the phone with his friend. His friend happened to be the young man I had met at the park. This was miles away from where it had happened. And the young man who was on the phone where my parrot had landed on his fence was watching a nature show on parrots and what they eat. He had Sesame Street seeds, put them along the top, and Juggles had walked along the fence, gotten in a box, and he had captured it. Now, how in the hell did that happen? Let me tell you another one. When we were getting close to our 6 millionth complaint-free bracelet, I decided that I wanted to give the bracelet to Maya Angelou. Again, all of you probably know the story, but I want to remind you because of its power. And I went around telling people that we were reaching the 6 millionth bracelet and I was going to give it to Maya Angelou. The problem was, I didn't know Maya Angelou. My publisher was Random House, biggest publisher in the world, and they published a lot of her books, and they said she doesn't respond to stuff. She doesn't do author, you know, forwards or anything for authors. So I still went around, told everybody I was going to meet Maya Angelou. I was going to give her the 6 millionth bracelet. And after having told dozens of people this, and even made one person angry, because when I told her I was going to give it to Maya Angelou, she said, "Well, when's that going to happen? How do you know her?" And I said, "Well, I don't know. I have no idea. I just trust it's going to happen." She got mad. She said, "You lied to me." Well, I didn't lie to her, because the right person I told was my friend Joy. Joy, unbeknownst to me, used to book Maya Angelou as a speaker. She hooked me up with Maya Angelou. I got to go spend a wonderful afternoon with her. She recorded a little video for us called "What the World Would Be Like If It Were a Complaint-Free World." She even provided the foreword for my book, which is something she's never done before. And again, how in the hell did that happen? It happened because I believed it was going to happen. One of the things we need to remember is that faith is not neutral. You are either putting your faith in a positive outcome that you want, or you're putting your faith in an outcome that you fear, and ultimately the outcome is going to come to you. We don't realize how much our thought energy goes out and literally manipulates the world around us and other people. If you have ever given this some thought, if you have ever tried this, you have a story. I'm sure of it. If you have ever consistently believed that something was going to work out, now, you may look at it and say, no. Think of something you consistently believed that you were kind of afraid might happen. I remember the last few years when my ex-wife and I were really struggling, and it seemed like everything we said was like, "What did you mean by that?" You know? And I remembered thinking, you know, I don't think this is going to last. And I remember thinking, when it doesn't, what am I going to do? And I thought to myself, I'll download an app, I'll meet somebody new, I'll fall in love, and I'll move to Florida. And all those things have happened. And I'm glad for it. I'm really grateful for it. It's just interesting to look back and see how my thoughts changed, and therefore how my life changed. And the same is true for you. If you can change your belief about an outcome, I'm not saying you can absolutely change the outcome. If you believe Donald Trump has won the election, you can't really change the Electoral College. However, once you believe something, you empower yourself to take action towards its fulfillment. And that's why we need to believe it. Let me give everybody a chance to check in. Give me your parting shots and thoughts, and then we're going to go meditate. Greg Thornton says, "Getting over COVID, as I said. Looking forward to Thanksgiving," says Corrine Thornock. Great. Willow Drinkwater. Hey, Willow, good to see you. You'd think our highest self would like to act mindfully all the time. You would, really, and that would be an interesting long conversation to have. Greg says, "Wasn't bad for 2 weeks, but yesterday thought I was having a heart attack. My chest hurts so much. I'll be okay soon. Thanks for talking so much about unity. I live in Colorado Springs, but Howard Caesar introduced me to the unity movement 20 years ago. Thanks, my honor." Howard Caesar is a very good friend of mine, Greg. He used to have me fly down from Kansas City to speak at his church in Houston when he would go on vacations and things like that. Greg Thornton, thinking positive thoughts to you. We are all sending you love and hugs, Greg. Hi, all. Get there late. Good morning. Good to see you, Kathy. Glad you're all here. Become aware of what you're thinking. Your ego is going to tell you, well, you need to think negative, fearful thoughts because that warns you for the future. Fine. If that's true, think it one time, make plans, and resolve to improve if the worst happens. Otherwise, put your focus on it working out. Put your focus on it going well. Even in little things. The other night I was cooking vegan burgers down on the grill, and I realized that I had probably not brought enough charcoal. Not only that, it looked like it was going to rain. And so at first I saw myself standing there at the grill in my mind, soaked to the skin with the coals just out and the burgers, you know, melting. And instead I went, no, I see myself sitting in the kitchen or sitting at the dining room table and enjoying these burgers and having a wonderful time. And that's what happened. It's amazing. We think that we need to worry to improve our outcomes, when actually what that does is it worsens our outcomes. Thanks, everybody, for being with me. Make it a great Tuesday today. Be careful of what you're thinking, because what you think becomes your reality. And no one can choose or change what you think except you. Enjoy today. We'll talk tomorrow. Bye-bye.
No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint.